Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Glad you could join us again this week for our podcast. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. This week, we're happy to have with us Angie Leinert. Angie is the CEO of IntelliGenesis, a company that she has built from the ground up, started it in 2007, and they work with clients such as the Department of Defense and cybersecurity, as well as machine learning. She has been recognized as a top business leader and has received numerous awards. She has an inspiring personal story that she's going to share with us today. And she has built a great company with a great culture, and she'll share some lessons learned around that. Looking forward to our conversation with Angie. We're happy to have Angie joining us outside of Baltimore, Maryland. And Angie, I guess first off, can you give us just an overview of your career and a little bit about yourself?
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to sharing a little bit of my story with you. I'm originally from Kentucky. So that's actually where I grew up. And after I graduated from high school, I decided to join the military because there weren't college opportunities for me or really any kind of job prospects. So I joined the Air Force, became an Arabic linguist, was in the military for 6 years. I was out at DLI in California for a couple, and then went to Texas and then to my first duty station in Georgia, where I met my husband of 23 years now. And then we were relocated to the Fort Meade, Maryland area, where I eventually separated from the military after I'd gotten my bachelor's degree, gone to defense contractor, went to a few different companies to where I decided that I wanted to get into more management, less technical, because I kind of had to reinvent myself after getting out of the military, because as an Arabic linguist pre-9/11, there weren't many jobs for us. So I got a little more technical, doing web development, HTML, realized that I'm much better leading projects than helping to kind of translate from what the end user wants to the developer than to actually sit behind a computer and do code all day. So I decided to get into some project management, lead my own programs. And then at some point I realized that in order to truly be able to lead in the direction that I want to do all the things I want to do for the people and the customer and the mission, I'm going to have to start my own company. And I had the opportunity to do that 13 years ago, and it's been a blessing, and I've enjoyed it ever since.
Great. Well, tell us a little bit about what your company does, a little bit about kind of number of employees, and just a little bit of your scope of who you guys are.
Absolutely. So IntelliGenesis is the company. We're headquartered in Columbia, Maryland. We also have a satellite office in Georgia, which again was my first duty station.
Okay.
We've always been true to what we do, which is protect and defend national security and the warfighter. We do software development, but on the artificial intelligence side of the house. So everything that we do is to be able to automate a lot of the processes. So we do artificial intelligence for machine learning, natural language processing. We often say that we've done analytics well before analytics were cool. And then as far as doing the mission support, we do defensive and offensive cyber as in the operations as well as in the intelligence. And because so many of our employees are subject matter experts, we've also are now in training. So we're responsible for training basically the next generation of analysts and operators that are coming out as well. So that's kind of in a nutshell what we've done and what we've continued to do. We are about a little shy of 140 employees. We have 138 employees currently. The majority of them, again, are in Maryland. We have employees in Georgia, Texas, Hawaii, Alaska, and soon to be Colorado as well.
Okay. Great. Yeah. You hear a lot more about AI. I was just talking, interviewing somebody who is in the Bay Area and has done a lot of work in the artificial intelligence world. And he said back when he first started, you couldn't use the words artificial intelligence. Nobody knew what it was and you couldn't raise money using that. So they've changed, but now it's definitely a very hot area and focus of a lot of organizations.
It's definitely a buzzword. And for those of us that have been doing it for a long time, that's a little alarming too, because people will throw out machine learning and they'll throw out some of these things when really they don't quite understand what it is. That's why, again, I say that we've been doing it for prior to this company. At the last project that I worked for, the last company, we were doing it there as well. So it's always been one of our core competencies and capabilities. So even though it's exciting to see the field kind of expand and other people get into it, it's also scary because they don't quite know what it means and they don't understand it. So it's been challenging. And for us to then have to come and clean up behind some of the other companies and that haven't really, don't quite understand how to do it and what it's trying to say, what it's trying to do. So good and bad. Yeah.
So for somebody that's in that world, maybe not technical, but needing to stay on top of the trends and their business person, what would you recommend them doing as far as just to kind of, you know, figure out what's going on in that market and how they can apply it to their own business?
Well, it's, you know, it's such a huge market now too, like you were kind of saying. So it's really just thinking about how to automate a lot of the manual and some of the tedious tasks that you do to make it a force multiplier for what you already have, the expertise that you already have in-house, to be able to pick up some of those tedious manual things, to be able to put some technology behind it, to automate it for you, free up some time so you can free up what you're thinking and doing other things. I mean, you're seeing it streamline so many of the business operations now, the business flow. There's just, it's in everything that we do and everything we touch, right? Every device that we own, every software application that we use are constantly making recommendations, suggestions. I mean, all of that has the AI behind it. So it's, right. It's in everything that you do and touch nowadays. And it's amazing the world that we have. But a lot of times people will be afraid, oh, they're going to replace me with a robot or replace my job. And that's just not what it does. I mean, right. It's really to do a lot of the heavy lifting so that people can be freed up. It's that force multiplier so that you can focus on some other things, improve with accuracy, and continue to build on that.
That's good. One of the questions I ask every guest that comes on, if knowing what you know now, what advice would you give a 22-year-old Angie if you're able to go back and give her some advice?
You know, that's one of the questions that I read. I've thought about that for so many days since the last time we spoke, and I thought about what I would say and what that answer would be. And then I thought, well, you know, if I gave myself that advice, would I have taken this chance, or would I have gone down this road, or would I have still gone through everything that I've gone through to make it to where I am today? I don't know what the answer is. I guess the best advice that I would give myself is just to believe in myself, and that, as long as I'm willing to work hard, that good things will happen. I struggled with that one for a very long time because I thought everything was kind of an if then, right? So if I knew this, then I probably wouldn't have done these other six things. And then how would that have changed my trajectory? I just don't know.
On the flip side of that, is there any advice that you received when you were around that age that looking back, you should have ignored?
I think the biggest thing which was go back to believing yourself is a lot of times I, you know, was told, well, you can't do that. You don't have the background. You don't, your scores aren't high enough. I guess there were more things I was told that I couldn't do that may have possibly at least temporarily prevented me from pursuing something that maybe I should have. So I would say that basically not to listen to those people, that you decide for yourself what your future is going to be, and what you can and can't do. And even if it's overwhelming odds are against you, try it, because you may not exactly get to where you're going to go, but it may take you somewhere else that you never thought you'd be. And if you just listen to other people and you don't take those chances, you know, that's unfortunate.
So who are some of the key people that you think have definitely shaped your career and kind of who you are as a leader? Is there anybody that comes to mind that kind of helped mentor you either from a distance or that you were impacted by?
So I still continue to be impacted by so many different people. I mean, I think that's for sure. I think that initially my dad, I had a lot of respect for him. He was a Vietnam veteran and ended up retiring from the National Guard. He was also a state policeman. So I got to see firsthand from some of his experiences, his work ethic, how hard he worked for what he believed in, and taking care of people and defending the country, that it really meant something to me. And it, because I saw how much that meant to him. And so I always knew that was important, and about how you treat people, no matter who they are, no matter what walk of life that you're in, that you're no better than anyone else. And we all have to get up every day and put our boots on and go to work or whatever it is that we're going to do. And I think that was some of the foundation for things that I saw, that again, the work ethic and remembering that you're part of that team, that the second you take yourself out of it, then there's a huge problem there. And then from there, just really throughout my career, people that were kind to me, that really wanted to just help, whether they agreed with what I was doing or not, they were supportive, because I didn't have a lot of that. So I would always tend to kind of go, when somebody would say something nice or something positive, I appreciated that. When people would actually give me some of their time to even share their story with me, I really appreciated that. And that's what I try to do today. I mean, obviously we can't make time for everybody, but giving somebody time is one of the most valuable gifts you can give them. And I really appreciate that.
Great. So I actually was introduced to your company and kind of what you're doing from an Inc. Cover story that they did on you back in June of last year. And the whole subject was around kind of making the best places to work and making it something that people want to go to work each day. And I know that article was, you shared some thoughts around that, around culture and building a healthy culture. Can you share just some of your thoughts around that and kind of some things that you've done and kind of your values that you have around that?
Absolutely. And I think that really is why we started the company, because we wanted to be able to take care of the people. We wanted to be able to take care of the mission and the customer. And with my background, with every promotion that I would take, it seemed to be further away from my team, further away from the customer, and more about the bottom line. And I never thought that should be the primary focus. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you take care of your team and you take care of the customer, really good things are going to happen. So with that, we started the company with the thought that none of us are independently wealthy. And we all have to get up and go to work. So if we have to get up and go to work, we want to be able to enjoy it. We want to be able to enjoy the type of work that we're doing. We want to feel that we're being paid well, that we have benefits, that people are looking out for us. And that's the premise behind everything that we did with the company, to include how we put our benefit structure together. Both my experience and my husband's experience working with other defense contractors, where they wouldn't pay for training or they didn't give you time off. And it's just, to me, that seems so basic. Why wouldn't you want to train your employees? Why wouldn't you want to help them to grow their careers and build out their skill sets? I mean, it's a benefit for you, it's a benefit for them. Why wouldn't you want to pay them well? Why wouldn't you want to treat them good? So that's at the core of everything we do with the values that we have. And we put our employees first. I mean, even with what we are experiencing right now with the social distancing, we've never really been a virtual company, but we've had to learn how to do that very quickly. So for this, we've always done well with communicating. We are a small company. We are multiple locations. We had to think about it even differently. And how would it be now that you don't have the day-to-day contact? So what do we have to do? What can we do to continue to engage and take care of our employees? So we're creating more training. We're taking time to teach them how to properly invest in their 401k, how to select your health insurance. We're having yoga classes. Tonight we have our first trivia night. Next week we're going to do virtual karaoke. I can't wait to see what that one's going to look like.
Right.
But just trying to be creative. We're doing different weekly challenges to get people outside and putting their steps in. We're building a quarantine cookbook.
Okay.
So we're all kind of stuck at home cooking food, right? So I know I had like 5 recipes, so I need help. and other people have expressed the same thing. So just trying to be creative. And when everything you do is in the best interest of your employees, it's really easy. Mm-hmm. But you have to be consistent, fair and consistent and transparent. And that's what we've done for the past 13 years. And that's what we'll do for the next how many ever we're allowed to do this. So.
Yeah, that's very cool. No, it sounds like, in fact, I have a copy of the cover there. So there it is. So one of the quotes that you had in that article was that you won't pursue a contract with a company or government entity that you believe aren't doing good in the world. So talk a little bit about that. Kind of, that's an interesting statement. You know, sometimes everybody thinks revenue is revenue, and tell us a little bit of your ideas around that.
Yeah, so it's never been just about revenue for us. I mean, again, obviously we all have to have a job and we have to pay our bills,
right.
But it's been about helping out the greater community and be able to make the world a better place than what it is today. And what is our role going to be in that? And so we've been pursued by some other areas, I won't be specific, to get us to help with cybersecurity in different areas, and that could potentially even be against ultimately the United States or something like that. And there's zero chance. I mean, it's very lucrative, but there's zero chance that that's anything that we would do.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with some of our AI and some of our tools that we've developed to be able to use those just purely commercial, not knowing who exactly is going to use them and for what. And we just can't in good conscience say yes to that. And that's okay. I don't need to be a billionaire. I need to know that we're doing good things. And at the end of the day, that I know that so that I can go to sleep at night.
That's great. What books have had an impact that you would recommend to other leaders that you think would be worthwhile reads?
This is another one I struggle with because I'm not a big reader. I'm more of, I run in my spare time. So I'm training for my third marathon. So I do a lot of books on tape.
Sure.
And it's just because whenever I sit down with a book, when I'm able to relax and start reading it, I get distracted about all the other things that I want to do. My mind's constantly going. So I wish that I thought about just giving you something to just say that this is a good book, but I don't have any good ones that I could just necessarily recommend. I've read several of them, but there's none. I'm just not a huge avid reader. For me, I prefer I've obviously had to read way too much with everything that's going on nowadays. So for me, reading is again, through my books on tape, is more of an escape.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to do something that is going to, when I'm running, keep my brain occupied, because if I go into something that doesn't interest me, it's gone. So I do like a lot of mysteries and things like that. So I'm not at all helpful to tell people which books to read. So
sure.
I apologize for that. I don't have any good advice.
So what do you do during this time just to keep focused? You know, I think that's one of the challenges that people have. There's so much going on, and with the constant news feeds and stuff, you know, each day, it feels like every week is about a month long.
It really does.
But how do you keep your focus as a leader?
Well, you have to stay informed, right? So, and then the other thing is, because we're getting so much guidance and direction from so many different places, is just I'm really trying to control communication through the company to try to make sure that we're on top of things. Encourage feedback back and forth. Let us know what you hear. We're telling you what we hear so that we can have all this information that's coming in, and then in a systematic way, be able to get it to everyone. So when they're worried and you know, everybody's scared, they don't know what's going to happen, you have to be able to get out there in front of them. I mean, this, just like the podcast, I'm not one that really likes to be in front of people, but I've been doing podcasts for my company because they need to be able to hear the message. They need to be able to ask questions, not just through email. They need to hear my message, hear what I'm saying, make sure that I'm consistent across the board, as everybody wants to know how long it's going to last. We have no idea how long it's going to last. So in the very beginning of this, you have no idea. We don't know what the impact's going to be. We don't know how bad it's going to hurt us. We have no idea. I can't control any of those things. So we already said what we're going to do is take it in 30-day increments. We're going to say that for the next 30 days, these are the things that we're going to do. And then we're going to reassess during that 30 days, and we're going to have our next 30-day plan out. And we're going to continue to roll out like that and control our communication, streamline it, and continue to be transparent and efficient and increase things as we need to. And that's worked out really well. From the feedback that I've received, people are very happy. And unfortunately, they're hearing that it's not happening consistently among companies, because a lot of them are running around, but everybody's afraid. So you have to be calm. You have to stop, pause, and make sure that you can reassure your employees. And I don't have all the answers. I have no idea. However, I know that I'm going to be able to tell you in this way. And as there's something that's important, we'll make sure that the information gets out. And that's worked very, very well for us.
That's, you know, I think the whole uncertainty factor is probably the thing that stresses most people out. And I think that whole 30-day mindset, you know, this is what we can do within this period of time. And then that's a great thought.
Thank you. Outside
of work, you mentioned you like to run. Talk a little bit about that and anything else that that you do to recharge.
Sure. So I don't actually like to run.
Just, you do it.
I need goals. And so that marathons are goals for me. So I did my first one. I think I did it in 2016. I actually came across a really great charity that supported pediatric brain cancer, and they needed runners for marathon. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. So I ran for them, and I swore I would never do it again. And then my father passed away in 2018, and I decided that I was going to run the Marine Corps Marathon for him, even though he was Army. And I got my sisters and my siblings, and so we made it a whole family thing. That way we could keep his memory alive and do something challenging, because my dad was very tough. And so he would, I think that he would have appreciated all of the effort that we put out for him with that. And so this one is just because I feel like you should at least do three, right? So now I'm going to do the Air Force Marathon, because I was in the Air Force. I've done the Marine Corps twice, so I feel like that should give the Air Force one a shot. But I really like it because it clears my head. Mm-hmm. And those times, I can't sit down and read a book, but when I'm running, I can enjoy the book. And I can really kind of get into it. And for me, it's just very relaxing and soothing. And then you have it's just so good for you, for your health too. And it forces me to, if you're going to run a marathon, you have to train. So I know that I'm not going to be able to go from zero to 26.2 miles. I have to force myself to get up and get out there and do it. And I sometimes need that pressure, that goal.
Great. Any parting advice that you would give a new or up and coming leader?
Goes back to don't let anybody else tell you what you can and can't do. If there's something that you believe in, no matter what your background is. Again, I had no college prospects, couldn't afford loans, couldn't even get a job at a factory. I was literally working at a gas station. To now I own, you know, this company. If you would have told that girl, that 19-year-old girl, 5 years ago, right? Because it's only been 5 years. This is your trajectory. I would have never believed you. So I think don't put limitations on yourself. If there's something that you want, work at it. And it's not just going to be, again, something that you're going to go from A to B. You're going to have to kind of grow. And it's okay that if it changes along the way, but just continue to challenge yourself. Continue to dream and dream big. Take risks. If you're not failing, you're not taking enough risks, you know. So get out there, try it.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Angie. This has been a lot of fun. Definitely enjoyed our conversation, and I know that this is going to be helpful for the people that are listening. So appreciate it. I wish you success in your business and as you navigate these times.
Thank you so much. Stay safe.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.